From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, another episode of the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud on Bleed Blue Show, bleedblueshow.com. Of course, this is our website, audio archive episodes, iTunes, Podcast Republic. Tune in and your Stitcher apps. You can also stream the live episodes or archive right on bleedblueshow.com, right from your smartphone, browser, or PC, computer, all that, and then bag of chips. So, Ring Podcast with RP, we're going to bring Amar. Of course, Ranger.Proud on Instagram, Ranger Proud on Facebook and Twitter. Talk about these previous games, the home opener versus the Predators, the two road games in Buffalo and Carolina. RP, welcome back to the platform, of course, and we got to get 2 points out of this, man. We're like one of the few teams in the league without a win on the season, though. But how are you doing, RP? How's everything?
I'm doing good. Everything's good. We'll get some wins. You know, this is all part of the process.
Yes, it's all part of the process. So let's we can start anywhere you would like. How did you like, or how did you think the games went? We could start with the home opener. We could talk about the two road games, Buffalo and in Carolina down in Raleigh. What did you like? What you see in any of those games, at least?
Jimmy Vesey. I think you got to start with Vesey. We blasted him a little bit in preseason. He was really quiet in training camp, and the man came out on a mission. He's definitely been, I think, one of the most impressive Rangers out of the three games in total. Him and Brett Howden, who's having a great start here to his career. But quickly back to Vesey, he thought he played really well against the Predators. They didn't get any goals, but he was setting up Zuccarello. He was getting chances himself. He was on the puck from the moment he was on the ice to when the game ended. He was in Nashville's face a lot. I really like his excitement. I like how he came out, his intensity. He was forechecking. He was hitting. He was shooting. He was making smart plays. And I've been impressed with his play all three games. I mean, he finally broke the ice and scored two against Carolina, which was great to see all that hard work coming off. You know, we were talking about scoring, Steven. The Rangers had something like 80 shots on goal the first two games and just couldn't score. But it really wasn't surprising if you think about that, because we've discussed for a while now, they really don't have strong finishes on the team. So as many shots as they were getting, you saw some great plays. VTU setting up Zuccarello, and he just couldn't finish. You couldn't do any more other than finish in those plays. They were doing everything right but scoring goals. I thought overall against the Nashville Predators, they played a solid hockey game. I mean, it was 3-2. You should have scored a late goal to make it 3-2. But they didn't play a bad game. They haven't played a horrible hockey game. Even the game in Carolina, they made a lot of defensive mistakes. But you would think if you scored 5 goals, you should win that hockey game. But a lot of things bit them in the ass, and that's why they dropped their third in a row. So it's been a – and I want to say it's been an unusual season. It's a lot of what I expected. But there have been some little surprises in there that you have to be happy with. You know, Brett Howden beating one, the poor play of Kevin Shattenkirk on the other end. It's a weird start if you really look at everybody as a team.
Yeah, no, they did play well versus – the Predators. I thought they took a shift off, and Philip Forsberg was able to get a goal on it, and I think that was kind of a backbreaker in the sense, like we said at the start of the season, or even preseason, you said that first line with Johansson and Philip Forsberg, Victor Averson, those guys are very hard to keep up with, man, for a whole 60 minutes. And for the majority of the game, the Rangers did their job. They just took a lapse in defensive judgment. And Forsberg was able to get on the board with a nice goal in that game. Going back to your points with VC, you were absolutely correct. And I hate to crush him because I'm not trying not to, but you were absolutely correct because he definitely looked. He played a very complete game without like scoring a goal in the Predator game. I thought scoring wise in the Carolina game, he was fantastic. Or the opening minute.
Oh yeah,
getting on the board right there on the 2-on-1. Very nice give and go with Kevin Hayes. I like what I saw out of that. And
the give and go was great.
Yes, it was. And defensively, he's actually been solid. I hate to say this because he did give up. I would say he did give up, but defensively, I don't know if it was between him or Shea in the game in Buffalo that set up the first Connor Sherry goal. It was on a Buffalo Sabres power play, and Shea and VC lost track of the puck in the neutral zone that set up the two-on-one that for that first goal for Buffalo. But outside of that, I mean, VC's defensively and playmaking and scoring, especially in the Carolina game, definitely off to a good start that we'd like to see out of him. I'm with you on that, man. For the most part, he's come out the gate swinging. I got to give you that on that. And Howden has looked very well. He looked very good as well too. I like how he plays. He's kind of smooth with it. No issues up with those two in particular players. I don't really have issues with the team because, like you said, we're getting shots. But I think that's the issue with this team. They don't finish. They don't have the finishers, yeah. And that's going to be.
But there
tough.
Have been
I mean,
some. Mm-hmm. There have been some lax plays. You know, it's weird to see some of these top players sitting or getting benched already. And I like that with the new coach. It doesn't matter that he's a new coach out of college. It's his team, and he's letting the players know when he's not happy. Not like the way AV did. He's doing it with what I consider, you know, what a coach does. If you're not playing well, I'm not going to put you on the ice. He wasn't happy with Kevin Hayes' play in Buffalo when he sat him for most of the second and third period. He wasn't happy mm-hmm. with Shattenkirk's play in Carolina, and he only played about 7.5 or 8 minutes in the game, and now it looks like he's going to be a healthy scratch on Thursday night. So he's taking charge. He's moving lines around. He totally scratched Nemtsov, like that
right.
was in the Carolina game, which is only game two, because mm-hmm. he didn't like what he saw out of him. And you could see that. He looked a little off center the whole night. He just was not just a step behind. It just didn't seem like he was there in the Predator game. So, you know, and I had mentioned it was a little weird that they started him on the fourth line, and maybe that did affect him a little bit. It was just a different level of play, different amount of playing time. It was a different scenario. So there's a lot of changes going on with the Rangers. But I got to give Quinn credit. You know, he's not sitting back waiting for something good to happen. He's going to make his little tweaks, and he's been very unhappy with the style of play. He wants the Rangers to be more in your face. He wants the way VC's played. He wants them on top of the other players. He doesn't want them to have any time to breathe. He wants to force them into bad plays. And that really didn't happen in the Carolina game. They were running all over the place. Carolina game was a weird game. They had a 2-0 lead, and you were like, oh, this looks great. And all of a sudden, in a 5-minute span, it was 2-2, and then they were going back and forth. And then that killer of a goal at the end of the second period when Gorgiev let in that long, long wrist shot, which should never have happened.
Oh, boy.
But we see it happen so many times with rookie goalies. But that was a killer because you should be going into the third period up 4-3, and that was the back-breaking goal. And they even made
really
it 5-4 after that. You know, Kreider scored, and you would have thought, all right, well, they got this goal back, and then they just fell apart after that. So
yeah,
that was an unexpected game. I just wasn't expecting eight again from Carolina. So it was,
well, no, they got outplayed in that third period. I was going to wait to that point
without doubt.
Later. Yeah, that game, yeah. they had, like you said, they were up 2-0. They were able to tie it up at 2-2. They went up 3-2. They were up 4-3. They could not hold the lead going into the first and second intermission. Even when they went up 5-4, they lost that lead. And I think they got fatigued. They looked fatigued. I thought goals kept coming, and there was a couple of bad goals given up by Gorkiev, and I want to get to that a little bit later because that as far as the backup goalie situation, I know we've been blessed. I know he's young, but it's just the growing pains. As far as Ranger fans, that's one of the areas on the team for the last several years where it's actually worked out no matter who's been in the net behind Henrik Lundqvist in the backup role has been actually been productive. We'll see how that will go this year when it comes to him on that. But giving up the leads, that kind of bothered me a little bit. I told you earlier even in the offseason, the Carolina Hurricanes got firepower. And you saw that in the game, their first game in Columbus, they got it. I told you, RP, they got this division is stacked. It ain't just Washington and Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. It's Columbus. You got the Devils. I mean, this is all over. You saw what the Islanders did to the Sharks. I mean, this top to bottom, and the Rangers is kind of like everybody else is looking at the Rangers as almost, man, this is 2 points because I don't know if we could get that anywhere else. But as far as losing the leads, I mean, it's not as bad as like last year, you got a lead, or even let's say you got a goal, you gave it up, you gave it right back. I seen even in the situation in Buffalo, giving up that power play goal, I thought they did a great job on the face off the after the goal, down 1-0, and there was a nice give and go with, I think it was Zibanejad and Chris Kreider, and Kreider just missed tying the game immediately after going down 1-0. The response on this team has been good. Just got a secure lead. And that's the thing that's always going to be an issue with this team, I believe, no matter what. As many times we looked at the defensive players, if they could secure the puck control, and not give up careless passes and turnovers, which was a bat breaker in the third period versus the Carolina Hurricanes. But they could score, though. I mean, they've shown that they could do that. With Kevin Hayes, Chris Kreider got a couple of goals, and he doesn't have to be this fast breakaway. He got one of the goals off of pass in the corner, right there in the middle of the ice. So they're getting it from different angles. They just got to seal the deal. And the shots on goal has been there in the first couple of games. Oh, definitely in the last two games for sure. So I like what I see, man, as far as offensive punch. They just defensively got to tighten up a little bit. And like you said, with the effort out of Kevin Hayes in the Buffalo game, Kevin Schacher and Mesico, it doesn't even matter. This head coach is looking at it like this, like your points. You could be a veteran on this team. You could have been here 4 or 5 years. You could have been just here, right off from the off season, or you could have just came here via trade. There's no favoritism. Either you play or you sit. It's just that simple.
It should be.
Even a veteran like Schacher.
It's tough to cut you off, but it doesn't matter who it is. You need to put your best guys out on the ice, especially when you're looking for your first win of the season. I thought the other night in Carolina, the coach went with 7 defensemen and 11 forwards, and that kind of worked out because he wasn't happy with Shattenkirk, but he was still able to roll 3 defensive pairs. And Anthony DeAngelo played a pretty good game that night. I mean, in the third period, the whole team played flat. But when you're looking at player by player, I thought DeAngelo played a pretty solid hockey game. So I think that gives Quinn the opportunity to tell Shattenkirk, you go to the press box and take a look at what's going on and try to find – he made a comment that he looks like Shattenkirk was still looking for his game after the injury last year or when he came to the team with the injury, whatever it was. And that was the – this is the opportunity for him to start looking for his game again. It's kind of weird to hear after 3 games only played for Shattenkirk. He missed so much time last year, you would have thought he would have been jumping right into the play, and it just – he still doesn't look comfortable out there, so it's a little surprising. I didn't really pay attention to it in preseason because it was preseason. When you watch the 3 games that he played in, 2.5 games, he didn't see much action in Carolina. He doesn't look comfortable yet.
Mm-hmm. And it was my bad. It was Spooner and Fast. It wasn't Zibanejad and Kreider. It was Spooner and Fast off the faceoff after that first goal. That's what it was. How did you feel, or how did you think? The power play hasn't been there yet. The unit was Zibanejad, Kreider, Buchnevich. How do you think the flow has been in special team situations up until this point, particularly?
I liked it. Buchnevich got a couple of power play goals already on the season. He looks the opposite of Schacher. He looks really comfortable on the ice. They're putting him on the point on the power play. They're putting him on the forward on the power play. He's skating with the reason. You know what I'm saying? He's got a lot more passion in his game. He looks like he's focused and dedicated. So he came out strong with 2 goals in the first 3 games, which what we were talking about. You're looking for someone who could, put the puck in the back of the net consistently, and we're hoping Buchnevich is the guy that can do it. Zibanejad hasn't found his game yet. Hasn't played bad either, though. He had a lot of shots in those first 2 games, and they're going to turn. Once these guys get 1 or 2 goals, they're going to start, hopefully, getting on that hot streak. Kreider found his way after 2 games. He scored two good goals. It was good to see these guys scoring, and that's why I was surprised when they lost the Carolina game, because you felt like in the first 2 games, if Kreider starts scoring it, if VC could finally finish, that'll open up the floodgates, and, he scored 2, and Kreider scored 2, and things were going great, and then they just hit a wall, and then they fell into quicksand, and one bad thing led after another. So you got to put the Carolina game on the side. These are going to be the growing pains with the rebuilding team. He was still Heidel's been playing well. Haddon, as we said, has been playing well. Pionk's been playing well. So, and everyone's going to say, if they're playing well, how are the 0-3? There's a lot more to it. they're not playing as a team yet. And that's going to take a lot of time. Fans have to be patient. This is the kind of hockey that you have to sort of expect for this season, or at least in the beginning of the season. You know, we've talked about it. There's not going to be a lot of scoring. There's going to be a lot of defensive mistakes. Gorgiev is going to struggle a little bit in goal to start the season off with, because it's you know, now it's his role as a backup for the season unless he can't do the job. So there's a lot riding on them, and I think everyone's just got to be a little bit more patient and let them get the feel of what's going on and let them really hear the coach's voice, which has been very positive through all of this. So it's no surprises. It sucks to be 0-3. You want to get that first win for the head coach. You want to get that first win under your belt. But it'll come. It's going to be a hard battle. They got a tough three games ahead of them, but it'll come.
Yeah. As far as the power play unit, I thought it looked fluid. Bushnev definitely looks comfortable. We'd like to see Zibanejad get going offensively as well. I like Kreider in front of that. He's been battling with those guys, against, especially, let's say, Carter Hutton on the Buffalo game on Saturday. I like the flow. They just got to deliver in that particular game. But Buchnevich has been fine. Other guys that I saw as well, on the penalty kill, how do you feel about the PK in particular? See, the second goal in the Buffalo game, I thought that was they probably have to go back. I don't know if they had time to go review the film session, but I thought there was an error on how to defend Jack Eichel, which set up the second kind of sherry goal after the domino effect. I don't know if you recall how that goal happened. I thought Pion was fine, but it showed a little bit of last year. As much as I like Pion, there's some situations he's gritty. But if a guy's bigger than him, a guy who could easily stiff arm him and fight him off like Jack Eichel did versus Neil Pionk. But that's not the part of the penalty kill that bothered me. Watching that, where it was Mika Zibanejad, I don't know what he was doing as far as not taking the puck away from Jack Eichel and clearing it. He totally whiffs on taking the puck from a Jack Eichel, and Jack Eichel splits Pionk and Zibanejad, and it left Mark Stahl hanging. And Mark Stahl had to make a choice: either get on,
right.
Either Connor Sherry or Sam Reinhart. That's what it is. And then what he did was, he played the Connor Sherry. Jack Eichel passes Sam Reinhart, who went back to Connor Sherry on the other side, and Lundqvist was toast. So that all, like,
yeah,
the penalty,
I thought on that play, though,
situation. Yeah, go ahead.
I thought on that play, though, Stahl played the middle towards the guy without the puck, and it looked like Lundqvist was leaning a little bit, which I don't understand why that was the right play, not to defend Stahl, but on the 2-on-1 low, that's the right play. You think
no,
the guy coming down the middle, and Hank takes the shooter, and Hank just was leaning just a little bit to his left, and you can't do that in this league because he took care of the shot. So, but I understand what you're saying. But I also think that you're still going to get those growing pains with the Pionk. And it's going to be a strength issue because he just hasn't played in the league. I mean, this is, what, Eichel's third season now?
Well,
and you could see the difference in his play. I mean, you absolutely – never mind that he got the captaincy.
But my thing is, it ain't really with Pionk. My issue isn't with Pionk. My issue is with Zibanejad. Because if you're over there, you have to hit Eichel. You have to take that puck and clear it. And he didn't even put a body on him. He didn't even hit him or nothing. Eichel goes right, makes a move, go right in between them, leaving Stahl hanging. Kreider kind of bit from the point and came back down and left Stahl hanging. I'm not blaming Stahl for anything. I'm not blaming Pion. I'm just wondering the penalty kill in Zibanejad's case, like, you got to be more physical. I didn't know if the coach addressed that because you're still down 1-0. The penalty kill was fine at that point because even right before there, Lundqvist took a shot to the point. They had the puck. Eichel retrieved it. Eichel's a good player. I'm not even minimizing Neil Pionk. Eichel's a hell of a player. Those growing pains, like you said. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Well, you want to know when you look at the weird thing in the Buffalo game is the two goals they scored were both on a power play and then had an empty net goal. You're not used to seeing the Rangers lose a game on special teams penalty killing side anyway.
Right.
Penalty killing has always been a strong suit.
Been solid.
But I also think that's Quinn trying to find who was reliable 4-0 or his reliable 8-0 on the PK. So he's going to be putting players out there that you might not see as often, like a Kreider killing penalties and all. Not that Kreider's playing bad, but he's experimenting with the two, and I think we got to give him a little bit of time to see, well, this works and this really sucks, and I'm not going to do that again. You know what I'm saying? So after three games and a few power play penalty kills, he's still feeling out what he wants. As the season continues, he's going to have his number one and number two PK pretty much set in his head with what he's comfortable with, and I'm sure Jesper Fast will be on that because he's probably with the team, one of the team's better penalty killers to begin with. But he's only one person, so he has to feel these things out. But I agree. You know, you look for one thing, and you're like, all right, we're not scoring a lot of goals, but our penalty killing is really good. And then, well, all of a sudden we're not scoring goals, and now the PK fails you twice. And that results in a loss almost all the time. So these are just the growing pains that we're going to be experiencing all season. You know, he's going to have guys in and out of the lineup. I'm sure you saw the changes that he's making for Thursday night's game. You know, he's going to keep trying to figure it out until he gets players who can really contribute and find team chemistry all at the same time. It's a hard thing to do. You know, we've got the whole world looking at him, his original six teams. So it's just going to take them time. But he seems to be showing that's Quinn I'm talking about. He seems to be showing decisiveness but patience at the same time, which is something we haven't seen.
Yeah. Like I said earlier, the Buffalo game doesn't really bother me as much as the Carolina game did. The Nashville game is a tougher opponent, veteran team. They've been down this road. So I'm willing to give the opening night game a pass. And even the Buffalo game, even if it was tricky, they showed grit. They shot a lot of quality shots on goal. I mean, Zin Benajad was firing away. Spooner was firing away. I mean, a lot of those guys, they just Carter had a good game in net, and they just couldn't score on the power play. And just one little two glimpses on the power play. Defensively, that kind of all she wrote, and then the empty net goal from Eichel. It is what it is. But it's to having the leads and giving them up and then just melting down the way you did in the third. That you definitely have to be more mentally tough than what we going into further games rest of this season. That's kind of what I took out of the game in Carolina, because I thought that, like we said at the last week with Night Channel 7 yourself and other stakeholders, it was like I thought there was possible 4 points out of six. The start of the season, and I thought we were in it with the Buffalo. I thought we were definitely in it.
The Buffalo. We were in it with Carolina too.
Absolutely, we were definitely in it.
You know,
the shots were there.
49 seconds into the game, right? Nothing that's in stone, especially with this team. And the Carolina game just showed it. Carolina just pecked away at the Rangers. They just kept putting they played a style of game that Quinn wants the Rangers to play. They were picking out pocket. They were forcing their plays. They were in our face. They were taking the body. They were taking shots from everywhere. It was surprised, right? But you're not used to seeing them having a good team.
I was surprised. I saw their moves in the offseason. I said, this team's going to make teams compete this year, kind of now, maybe not as how high I was on Columbus a couple of years ago, but I looked at this roster. They got scoring punch. They got guys who won the Stanley Cup on this roster. This is not your last couple of year Hurricanes, but I knew they had firepower, and that was on display on their opening night in Columbus. And then you remember you talked about it, man. Maybe we could take one from them as they were going to Columbus and they came home. And they came back multiple times in this game versus a team in the New York Rangers just trying to find their way. So it doesn't surprise me. It's just more disappointing in that Carolina game versus Buffalo. And Buffalo's just got to tighten up a little bit. And Buffalo, they're gonna have their struggles this year, but they added Connor Sherry from the Pittsburgh Penguins. And that team, for what I saw, they were waiting to get something out of them. They kind of booed him coming onto the ice. They expected Connor Sherry to deliver, and he did. And it delivered real well versus our team. So on our end, when it comes to VCs, I like what we saw out of VC. I'm actually surprised. I don't think you are as surprised as I am, because I thought it stuck in my head with Alain Vigneault, but him and Buchnevich, they stepped to the plate. And then these other guys outside of the Hayes give and go with Jimmy VC, You like you mentioned it with the head coach Shattenkirk and Namestnikov. They got to get out of this. I don't want to call it a doghouse, but if the head coach certain play, man, they got to deliver, man. That's what it is. Hold on, RP. Let's bring on Night Channel 7 to the dialogue of the first three games, the No Points episode with Ranger Proud. Night Channel 7, tell us what your thoughts on the first three games, Predators, Sabres, Carolina Hurricanes. Welcome back, Ring Podcast with RP.
Hey, guys. Sorry I'm late. I think the best game to me was the first game. The second game, they got a little worse, and the third game was awful for me. We should have won the Buffalo game. I'm sorry. The Buffalo is not good. To lose, that's the game that bothers me the most. I didn't think Carolina would be a shootout like it was, but I thought we might have an issue in Carolina because they play us tough there. You know, and we all talked about, okay, and with the first game with Nashville, you know, it might be a close game, maybe we'd lose, but the Buffalo game was a very winnable game. That's the game that bothers me the most, is because that was a winnable game. I mean, you know, to make Connor Sheary look like some kind of goal-scoring savant, I'm just not trying to hear that. And Kreider, is Chris Kreider, did the season start? Did he start the season yet? Has he played a game yet? Because
He showed up in Carolina.
He did start in Carolina. He scored his two in Carolina.
Yeah, well,
you're right. But that's Chris Kreider. That we've been talking about. You know, he'll be invisible for five games, and all of a sudden he'll be on the score sheet for two.
Yeah, so I'm not happy with the Carolina game and the Buffalo game. You know, the Nashville game, listen, man, we played. I thought we held our own. We had some chances. Guys just couldn't put it in the net, and that happens because there were some really great A chances in that Nashville game. Guys, maybe extra pass, I think, sometimes a little too much because everybody's trying to just get the teammates into the flow. But the Buffalo game is the one that bothers me.
All right. Sorry about that. Go ahead, RP, if you want to follow up on Chandler's comments.
No, I agree. This is where we're at right now, which it isn't a bad thing and it isn't a great thing. It's growing pain. There's going to be a lot of games that we should have won that we just blew, and there's going to be a couple of games that hopefully we find a way to steal. To me, the biggest disappointment game, believe it or not, was the Carolina game because they were putting the puck in the net. They were battling. It was a great shootout going back and forth. It was exciting hockey. And then the wheels just fell off in the third period after we took a 5-4 lead. And like you said, they keep blowing one-goal leads. In that game, I think it was three or four times they blew a lead. You just can't do that in the NHL because it's going to bite you in the ass, and that's what happened there. And it would have been nice to get a win out of one of these three games. The Predator game was a great game for the Rangers playing against the President Trophy-winning team. They played really well in that game, and then it slowly got worse and worse as the two games went on. Especially teams failed us in the second game against Buffalo, and the third game was just one of those games that you just want to forget about and throw away, but which is kind of hard to do when your leader like Kevin Shattenkirk is playing so poorly that now they want to sit him a game. So things are coming out of bad play, and they just have to find a way to step up now. And, you know, they're going to play a tough San Jose Sharks team. They're going to play Connor McDavid on Saturday, which is going to be a real grind. And somewhere they got to get this first win. And once they get that first win, maybe we'll start to see everyone playing a little bit tighter and a little bit better. And I think everything that we've forgotten in this conversation tonight is I think the play of Henrik Lundqvist in the first two games was really, really great. I don't think anyone's playing the way Hank played in either of those games. He made that save in Buffalo against Rodriguez. That's still going to be a play of the year right off the bat with that pad save going across. It is phenomenal. You can't ask much more than what Hank did. And in both those games, Steve, if you notice, he didn't look impatient. He didn't look aggravated. He also has to understand what's going on, and he has to understand that he's going to have a lot of tough games, not because of his play, but because of the play in front of him. So this is what he accepted when he didn't want to be traded. So I was happy to see that he stood patient and he played solid. You know, the only reason why he didn't play in Carolina is he just wanted to get the backup goalie a game. So it wasn't from poor play or anything like that. And it kind of gives Hank a week off now from when he played in Buffalo until Thursday night, which can always help him. So it was a small play, a small move by the coach. But I thought Lundqvist has played solid in the two losses.
Yeah, I thought I agree with that on Lundqvist. He made some excellent saves in the Predator game and the Buffalo game. I have no issues with the starting goalie at this point. It's just that was just one of those games, like we said last week, they have an elite top line, and it was just a matter of time that they were going to put us out of our misery, in which they did with Philip Forsberg getting that goal off of Johansson. But I want to go back to Chandler and then also go, because I want to really address this Kevin Hayes situation. I know he had the nice assist on the give and go with BC, but what can Quinn do to get him going this season beyond this Carolina game, Chandler? What would you like to see? Now that you saw him in a couple of games, is Zibanejad, you know, has had good shots on goal versus Buffalo, but how can we get them to finish or get more points out of them? Not necessarily goals, but get the wingers involved if they're going to be the one of the top two centers. Like, and then I thought, in a way, like RP, like you let off on this episode, Howden has in many ways outclassed both of them. He's just got there. So I don't understand that in the sense of the younger guys getting a lot of shine. But Chandler, what about Hayes, and what you would like to see more out of him from the head coach that he's kind of semi in the doghouse, like RP said?
Hayes just has to play. This is not a coach thing at this point. This is a Kevin Hayes thing. This is not on the coach. Kevin Hayes needs to just do what he needs to do. He needs to tighten his game up. He needs to play with more urgency. He needs to play a harder game and shoot the damn puck when you got a chance. He's passing up shots when he shouldn't. He's taking shots where, listen, you know, there's nobody between you and the goalie. He's looking right at you. You're shooting it right into his pads. That, you know, ain't the best shot. Hayes is frustrating me already because he just needs to play. I don't know how else to say it. He just needs to play, and he's not doing that. He's playing at like half speed, where he makes it look like he's giving you max effort, but he's really not. You know, and you can look at him like, dude, you're just not giving it to me. And I don't know. Like I said, I don't think it's a coach thing. I think it's a Kevin Hayes thing. He's got to want to be great at this stage because he has the ability to be great. He's got to want to be great, but you can't make somebody be great that doesn't want to. We see what Jimmy Vesey is doing. Hayes can do that and more, I think. And it's like he doesn't want to. You know, it's very frustrating with him right now. He's just got to want to be better than he is.
Anything else you'd like to say about that RP on Kevin Hayes? And then we go back to the other guys as well.
Well, what you were saying, you know, it was surprising that Brett Howden playing better right now than Kevin Hayes. First of all, he's playing on adrenaline. He's in the NHL. It's a little bit easier for him to play better. He doesn't have any issues yet. He doesn't have that weight of the world on him. The team's using him in different scenarios. They're going to be using him even more now in the upcoming games, which he's got to be thrilled with. Hayes, I just think, is thinking too much, to be perfectly honest with you. It's the same thing with Zuccarello. If we're talking about it, how many times is he going to pass up a great shooting opportunity? He did it in the Carolina game the other night. These guys are just trying to be a little too fancy with the puck. They're thinking too much on the ice instead of just playing the game. Hayes is a smart hockey player. He didn't score 25 goals by mistake last season. I don't know. I wrote earlier, sometimes I just think he's thinking more about his future than where he is now with this one-year contract and all these things that might be coming up that you don't know. But I think it's just going to take everything a day at a time and just play your game. The coach is giving them every opportunity to find their game. That goes for most of the players. You know, people take it, oh, when they change lines up, it's bad. And it isn't demotion, especially in the NHL now. The fourth line now is like the fourth line 8 years ago. The fourth line now can score and play pretty much as the first line. So today when they announced that they were putting Hedl on the fourth line center and moving Howden up to the third line, it wasn't a knock to Hedl. He's been playing great. Right now Howden's the one that's on fire, and the coach is figuring he can get other players to play better if Howden, Howden's playing better. And he deserves to get that other opportunity. But you can't say, well, that hurts Edel. It doesn't. He's still an important part of the team. He's still playing an important role in the team. He's still going to get his power play time. So I think people overdramatic where you're playing on a line and so forth as opposed to just playing your game. And that's what Kevin Hayes has to do. He's just got to play his game a little bit more and just be Kevin Hayes. I mean, don't worry about where he's going to be playing next season, where he's going to be playing next month. Just get the puck, put it on that, and drive. I mean, never mind he's not playing well. He's not winning faceoffs as much again, and that's a problem because that affects your entire puck possession game. So there's a lot of things that he has to work out.
Well, mentioning those three in particular, Howden's been better with the faceoff through the first three games. And I don't know if that has lot to do or part of the reason why you're going to do some shuffling. Well, I say shuffle, but moving up and moving down in the lines or whatever. I mean, that makes a difference in a couple of minutes on time of the ice through the whole game. So if they feel that Howden is winning the puck possession, and you know, I'm big on that the last couple of years. If it's going to go through somebody who's almost at a 60% clip winning faceoffs, bring him up. Because Hayes, who was actually good at that the last couple of years up until this point, has kind of struggled, but it's still early. He just got to
– he's struggling.
It's him, but also the consistency. We always talk about Clyde, and it's almost like a broken record. We talk about that over and over because the first two games non-existent, then, there you go, Chris Kreider. Welcome to the 2018-19 season. How you doing, buddy? That's Chris Kreider for you. So – but he's kind of a fire plug, a fire acid. But when it comes to the centers, Mika Zibanejad, he just hasn't scored. He's just had the shots, just have not put it away yet. I'm not going to get on him because earlier last year he was on fire to start the season. So I think that will definitely come around. The finishes will come there for him, especially on a power play situation. I would like to see him get set up more. I mean, he looked more comfortable last year on the power play, just driving the puck. From the left circle, I haven't seen a lot of that yet from Zibanejad. It seems more of a playmaking thing. I don't know what the coach saw in that in him. Is that more of an asset? I'm not 100% sure. If you guys want to answer that for me, that'd be great. As far as Zibanejad on the power play, more so, where would you rather see him in particular? Now, as far as Hayes, he's got to pick it up. Same thing with Nemitsikov, man. I mean, it's mental. I mean, think about. I mean, it's human. I would say human nature, but. If I was on a top line like I was in Tampa Bay, I get traded from a Stanley Cup contender to a team where it's trying to find itself, trying to find its way, it's rebuilding. And now through the offseason, I'm demoted to the fourth line. I might become kind of bummed out too. I don't know. He's got to be more professional and come back and earn his way when it comes to him with this new head coach. All this happened within a year. Let me see what other players that we haven't really discussed that. What about Hedo? Do you like anything what you saw out of Philip Hedo Night Challenge 7? What about as far as him or Fast? Any of those other guys? What's your thoughts? Yes, for Fast.
I like
play.
Yeah, young kids. I like their games. They've been playing hard. They've been playing fast. Yeah, they haven't finished, but. You know what, that happens sometimes. Listen, sometimes, man, it goes in and says, sometimes the goalie's just better than you that night. But I like the way the young kids have played. Hedl especially, he's been active. You know, he's getting around the puck. They're getting scoring chances, which is great. Fast has been one of the best players on the team, period. You know, hands down. He's almost the best player. His line has been really good. You know, Hedl's been good. The younger kids, and again, maybe it's because like RP said, they don't have the burden of expectations yet, so they just playing loose and free. I don't have any complaints other than a little too much overpassing, which is to be expected with young players because they want to make sure they don't seem like they're greedy and hunting shots, so they're going to make the extra pass, and sometimes I think they should just take the shot. But the young kids for me have been fine. The defense for the most part has been good outside of Shattenkirk. And I don't know if it's a confidence. The coach said it might be a confidence thing, which is possible. Brendan Smith has been good. He's been solid. So with the young kids, I'm not upset at all. And even the kid D'Angelo, who you guys know I don't like, he looked good in the time that he got in the last game. So the young kids have been playing well.
Mm. RP, what about you? Anybody else that well, yes, we're fast and his play early on, like we uttered that especially in opening night. We said that Hedo fast line was going to be a catalyst line that's going to really keep us in a lot of games, and I thought they did in the Nashville game. And you saw them with a sense of, I would say urgency, but a burst in trying to respond to a power play goal in the Buffalo game. Anything you would like to on your thoughts on Hedo and Fast as well in particular?
Well, I think they both play well. I mean, Fast has got, 3 points. I think he's got a goal and 2 assists. He's been playing solid. The problem with the Rangers is, for instance, this Thursday night, Fast is going to be playing on the top line with Zibanejad and Buchnevich. Any other team in the National Hockey League, Fast is a second or probably a third line player. And I know he's playing well and things are happening, but that's just not a combination that's going to work. You know, Kreider just came off scoring 2 goals against Carolina in a loss. Why wouldn't you put him back up on that line with Buchnev, who has 2 goals already, and those 2 guys can get the center Zibanejad going? I don't see putting Fast on the top line how it benefits a team that's struggling to score goals.
Did Quinn say anything about that?
He didn't say why. I didn't see anything he said why. They just announced what the practice lines were today. I didn't see his press conference. I don't know what his thinking or what his theory was. It's just, I just don't understand that line. The other moves and the way his lines are coming off, I could definitely understand. And they're not major deal breakers, but moving Fast to that line and then having Hayes during VC and Spooner and Howden centering Kreider and Zuccarello. Kreider and Zuccarello never pair up well together. We've seen that over the years. It's just, not that they're bad hockey players, just chemistry-wise, it's just totally different styles of play. You know, Kreider isn't one of those grinders. He's one of those guys that are going to stay in front of the net or come down and pick up a puck and score. Though we did pick up what I call a garbage goal the other night. You know, one of those rebounds in front of the net. It just, to me, I know he's trying to find something, but the other thing is after 3 games, maybe you don't need to be breaking up the lines. Maybe right now, you know, we're not a high-scoring offense to begin with, and you don't want to fall into the trap with what AV did last season. In the beginning, he was changing lines every half period. And he's giving no one a chance to gel, to figure out who they are or what they want to do. You got to be careful. You know, sometimes doing too much can cause a problem. It's a fine line. I just don't see how Fast is your first line winger.
And Night Channel said, what about your thoughts on Brady Shea through the first couple of games as well? I haven't really seen, I would say much, but getting him going as well. He's kind of in that middle of the shuffle where, you know, getting a big contract, you want him to come out the gates kind of fast, like we saw out of Buchnevich, we saw it out of VC. Shea is one of those guys in that conversation as well. Like, we need to get more out of him. He's a defenseman who's going to get real deep in the zone. And if you're going to do that, you can at least get his points and defensively hold your own and on the third of the ice, especially in the neutral zone, because I did not like that play in Buffalo. I think that's probably more on him than VC. I know I said that was kind of VC. I think when VC lost the puck initially and it trickled in right in the middle of the ice, I think Shea should have secured it and got a little should have secured the puck. But I think what's your thoughts as far as Brady Shea in particular up until this point as well?
I think he's been solid, but I think there can be more there. We have a lot of intelligent players, and I hate to put it like this, but it's kind of working against us because we got a lot of guys that are in their heads. We got a lot of guys that are in their own damn heads, and they need to just stop thinking and play. And Shea, I think, is in his head a little bit. He doesn't seem as sure of himself as I think he should be. Maybe it's the new system. Maybe he's trying to impress a new coach. Maybe, you know, he's thinking about the contract. He just seems that he's there and he's just solid, but he can be much more, I think. You know, I expect Brendan Smith to be solid. I expect Shea to be great. I think he's just thinking about trying to be great a little too much. And, you know, when you think too much, you start moving a little slow and making small mistakes. He's made some mistakes. He's made some decent plays. He's just been solid for me. And I'm okay with that for right now while he gets his feet underneath him. But I think he's got way more to give.
Anything on you, RP, as well as from Brady Shea?
I thought, believe it or not, in the Carolina game, I thought he played pretty well. He led the team. He played over 22 minutes. He was one of the few players that wasn't a minus in a game where they gave up 8 goals. And he was skating with the puck a lot more in that game, taking some chances, at least getting over the blue line before he gave the puck up. And I think he's starting to get more comfortable. You know, you hate to keep going back to last year, but the way AV had his system, Shea wasn't supposed to be carrying the puck as much, and he wasn't comfortable carrying the puck as much because he always had a different partner every day. You know, is he an offensive defenseman? Was he a stay-at-home defenseman? He didn't really have his game. He didn't know what he was last year. He was just trying to out there to carry the weight of the team on his shoulders all the time. Now I think there's more of a strategic setup for him of what they expect out of him, which is the offensive defenseman area. I saw him, you know, skating with the puck a lot more, not taking chances, not making dumb mistakes. But I think he's starting to come around. He's another one you have to give a little bit of time to enjoy the freedom like Buchanan is experiencing right now. And Shea's still a little bit younger, and yeah, he did sign that big contract. But you expect big things out of him, but without saying so, he's already leading the team just with the minutes. You know, someone has to take those Ryan McDonough minutes. And Shea's going to be the guy, if everything goes right, to be that defenseman that has those minutes every game. And once he starts to get more comfortable on the ice with the new coach and understand what they want of him and what he can and can't do, and hopefully they get him a consistent partner, because that's a big thing. We talk about chemistry with the forwards. You need to have a partner. You need to have a guy that you can look for that's next to you, that you know what he's going to be doing in certain situations. And I think once he gets that, he's really going to be able to relax a little bit more out there and take off. But he's averaging almost 20 minutes a game in the 3 games so far. He's right where you want him to be, I would say, at this point.
All right. Now, we got these upcoming games. We got the Sharks. We got the Oilers. And we'll be back next Tuesday or the postgame show versus the Avalanche. But, you know, looking forward to the Sharks. Night Channel 7 and, of course, Ranger Proud. The Sharks are, I don't know, they're kind of tricky to read, but they had a huge game tonight. Didn't see the game. Well, I saw a couple of minutes in the first period, and they went off on Philadelphia, in Philadelphia. They got beat by the Islanders, got 4-0, went down to Philadelphia and destroyed the Flyers. Didn't see the highlights yet until this after this episode. But that was RP's favorite. That's a lot of people's favorite. And knowing that on that roster, knowing that Pavelski, Evander Kane, you got to deal with a Brent Burns on defense, and, of course, Eric Carlson from the trade with the Senators. Chandler, the Rangers, how do they approach this? They have a couple of days to get ready for the Sharks. I mean, this is where they need to get a couple of points on the board about what Sharks team they're going to get and what Rangers team is going to show up against the Sharks.
You know what? I think we're going to do better against the better teams. I think we're going to play better games because we have a lot of young players. And the one thing, unfortunately, with young players is you tend to go up and down to the level of the competition. And, yeah, I know we have some guys that we're calling veterans, but they're not those guys when you're talking about veterans where they say, listen, okay, just, you know. So I think we're going to have a good game against San Jose. I don't know if we'll win, but I think we're going to play well against San Jose because it just seems to me, based on what we did even between Nashville, then to Buffalo, and then to Carolina, the play kind of went, it was high level of play against Nashville, winning to Buffalo, and it was like we were flat, oh, we're playing a terrible team, so we don't have to be that good. And then against Carolina, oh, this is a really active team, so let's be more active. So I think we're going to have a good game against San Jose, believe it or not, because it seems to me so far that the trend is to rise to the level of the competition, and hopefully that evens out. But I think we're going to do well against San Jose, even though San Jose, man, listen, they got enough players to put it on you, but I think we're going to do well.
And RP, what about your thoughts versus the Sharks?
You know, they have a lot of firepower on their team, too. The Rangers are going to have to find some way to get a win in these three games. We don't want to go 0-6 and really be behind. I think of the three games, San Jose might be their best chance to get a win. Edmonton, just even though they're not a great team, Connor McDavid can give you fits at any time. And we all know that Colorado's been playing pretty well. So it's not the predicament that you want to be in. I think the best case is just to go out at a period at a time and try not to make as many mistakes. San Jose is a really fast transition team. I mean, you saw it tonight. I watched a little bit of the Flyer game, too. They were really moving the puck. They were really going in between the blue lines, skating from one end to the other. Their transition game was really on fire tonight. They were scoring some really pretty goals, too, which I don't know if they're going to do every game either. But you want to know, Philly wasn't playing that bad, and they put 6 on them tonight, I think it was, or 7. I didn't get the final score.
8-2.
The Rangers cannot afford to get into another shootout because San Jose will really light them up. So I think they have to go the other way. They want to score goals, but I think they got to do what Quinn said and start from Lundqvist and a defenseman and then move up. Protect your end first and then try to counterattack a little bit. I think if they try to do the shootout gig with Carolina and it kind of backfired on them, if they make those mistakes against San Jose, we're going to be looking at 0-4 really fast. So the San Jose game probably still, I would say, is the best out of the three. To get a win, it's a shame to look at it that way. Anything can happen once you get a win. So it'd be great if you can beat San Jose going against Edmonton at home Saturday afternoon with some momentum coming off a win. You never know what's going to happen. But they have to find some way to start getting wins together, and because the rebuilding excuse is going to die out really fast, guys. Yeah, we're rebuilding, but it doesn't mean you can't be competitive. You know, and you can see when you're looking at the schedule.
The refrigerator
Rangers, right now.
Remember what was said on the refrigerator. We talked about the fridge.
You're 100% right, but after a while, you know, you rip that stuff off the refrigerator, and the kids are supposed to be growing up, and you know, you'd rather do it sooner than later. But it just doesn't get that easy from them. You got to play San Jose, Edmonton, and then after Colorado, they go to visit Washington. So, and then they get a couple of days off. It isn't an easy schedule to start the season. They're lucky that they get a lot of days off in between. But the teams that they're going to play, they're all bad teams in the NHL. Unfortunately, the Rangers are on the bottom tier of the league right now. So if you're going to say who's a weak team in the National Hockey League, right now, I hate to say it, but the Rangers are in that category. So they're going to have to come out battling every night and have to find some way to get steal some wins early. This way that momentum can build up. Because if you don't win, you're not building up any momentum. And then you're just in quicksand all over again. And I know I use that analogy a lot, but it's true. Once things go bad, they keep going bad.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the matchups as far as who's going to account for Burns, who's going to account for Erik Karlsson, because you know those guys are going to skate deep, and they are going to find guys and set the pass. I would assume. I know Pavelski got a couple of goals tonight. And then if Evander Kane got going, if they got 7 or 8 goals tonight, so I'm pretty sure he was in the mix as well because he's playing on that Pavelski line. They're not as talented. That line is not as good as the Predators line. And I thought the Rangers did a good job. But it's still game to game, and the Rangers have a couple of days to get prepared. See, if this was like back-to-back nights or maybe 2 nights from now, I would be a little bit worried. More so than anything. I mean, 2 nights from Sunday, since the last time the Rangers played. But I understand and I agree with what Chandler said. I think they have a couple of days to recoup, first 3 games out of 4, and then if you can really account for, especially the second line guys, I think like Logan Couture is really dangerous versus this team. But the defensemen, they're scorers. They're bona fide scorers. I mean, Brent Burns with 25 plus goals every seems like the last couple of years. But I think they can make this interesting. I can see like 5-4, 4-3. I don't know exactly what happened versus the Islanders on how the Islanders pulled it off and shutting them out. I think part of it, the Sharks are trying to find their way because they've been so – I mean, opening night they lost to the Ducks, and I think that's – it's going to be them and the Ducks. And then they came back and won the game after that. So Yeah, we'll see what kind of Shark team we're going to get, and I think they're going to get a well-rested Rangers team. Now, as far as the Oilers, what's your thought, Chandler, as well, versus Connor McDavid and those guys? And then same thing with you, RP, and then we'll go around the league and wrap up after that.
The Oilers game scares me because McDavid can just, you know. and the thing is, Edmonton has a good team. Why they're bad, I don't know. But the Edmonton game scares me because I think that Edmonton game, man, I think we might – I honestly think we might lose that game, and I can see McDavid getting two or three goals in that game. I just don't like the matchups with that Edmonton team.
Mm. And, RP, they've only played the Devils. Like, this schedule is real weird. A lot of the teams, like the Rangers, already played three games. A lot of teams. Some teams only played one. There's only one game tape out there, and they lost to Taylor Hall and the Devils. They play what's today? Tuesday. They played Saturday. They don't play again until in Boston, and then they go to go back to New York. That's a weird schedule. I don't understand.
Well, they try to give them a little bit of a break because they had the preseason and the opening game overseas. So the problem with that is it doesn't give the Oilers any time they get consistency, any flow to their game. So
especially on the road,
by the time you see the Rangers, you know, it'll be game three for the when they play against the Rangers. But it'll only be their second game in a week. So it's kind of hard. I'm just looking at the schedule, and I don't know who made it up. How are there no games on Friday night in the National Hockey League?
I noticed that, too,
I've
last
never
week
seen
as
that.
Well.
I just noticed
I saw
that
two
now.
Games last
it
week.
Mistake.
Doesn't make sense. I don't get it.
It doesn't make any sense at all. And meanwhile, on Thursday night, they have 12 games. I mean, who scheduled all this? Yeah, I mean, it's why would you give the whole league off on a Friday night when you're trying to battle against Major League Baseball playoffs and college
think
football
about it.
And you want your sport going. It's weird.
You said how many games on Thursday? Because that's Thursday night football. Why would you put all those games against Thursday night football? You know what I'm saying? It doesn't make sense. You have Friday open.
But see, if it's Thursday night football, and unless you're in New York, no one's watching the Giants-Eagles. Let's be realistic. Thursday night football is not as big as they want it to be, but I don't care. These breaks and these days off, it's a very weird schedule to start the season. But I agree with Chandler. The Oilers are a scary team. I mean, McDavid can do it all. McDavid could score more goals than the Rangers score in a week in one game. The guy has pure raw talent. It's great. I mean, one of my favorite players to watch outside of watching Rangers. So they really got to be careful with that. This can get ugly really quick if they don't find a way to turn around.
Right. This is Nick Chandler 7. Give us your final thoughts on the Rangers, of course, and did any surprises around the league that you saw in the NHL? And then we'll get RP, his final thoughts, same thing as well.
Well, I just need the Rangers to be a little more consistent. I expected the struggles, but I just want to see some of these players that we've talked about be a little more consistent. And my biggest surprise, man, from the league is the fact that Nylander is still not signed because, you know, at this point, I need to start entertaining fantasies of us getting him.
All right. Night Chandler 7, man. Thank you very much. Your thoughts. RP, your final thoughts. I'll tell you how you be found on social media, your articles, your content for Elite Sports as well.
I don't think we should be surprised by any of the games the Rangers have played in. It's going to be a growing pain kind of season. Everyone sort of expected it, but of course, you always want to win, so you kind of put it on the backside and said, hey, maybe we can get some wins here and there. And the team's going to win in two of the three games, even the Carolina game, the Rangers competed and played well. But these are going to be the kind of games we should anticipate seeing. So just be patient with them. Hopefully in the next, you know, four or five games, you start to see some chemistry growing. Quinn's going to get even more comfortable behind the bench. You can see he's really trying to work it out to get this win. And, you know, something, just keep being Ranger proud until we get some wins going. You got to catch me on Ranger Proud on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Read all my stories on Elite Sports New York. I appreciate the support. And patience is the key, as we say every week, Steve.
Patience is the key. See the squad skate hard. I would like to see these guys finish at the net a lot more with all the shots on goal. It's going to come if you get that good quality of shots as well. Around the league, we may not have said it in the offseason, but I think the Central Division is more underrated than we thought. I think there's a lot of firepower. I see Dallas with some nice play, and they got some nice pieces on their team. Given a lot of – they did a good job versus Winnipeg. I think the Central Division with Colorado, Winnipeg, Minnesota, those teams, Nashville, I think they could be just as competitive like the teams in the East. That's what I took. I was surprised that the Canadiens beat up on the Penguins after the Penguins had a crazy 7-6 win versus the Capitals, and that's right before the Capitals destroyed the Bruins. And I think that was even a surprise in the sense of that's the Bruins. You know, the Bruins are a very good team. I didn't think they were going to lose 7-0 on opening night. And I don't know if you guys saw the game versus Toronto versus Chicago. Toronto's put up the most fun games I've seen up until this point. There's been a lot of scoring. And if you don't like no defense, watch the Maple Leafs. They put up a lot of goals. And the teams they're playing are putting up a lot of goals as well. And then I've seen a couple of the Calgary-Vancouver home and home games. I saw that Vancouver had a nice home win, and Calgary repaid them back. But that Central Division, RP and Chandler, is something to – if you're not watching any Ranger games, take a look. Colorado, Nathan McKinnon, we talk about him a lot. Dallas is Seguin and Jamie Benn. Those guys, they're going to make you work, man. And I think the Pacific Division is just weak. It's really a lot of people still like Vegas. The Sharks, especially the Sharks, and then the Ducks are still the Ducks. But they're nowhere near as deep as the teams in the East and especially in the Central. But those are my thoughts up until this point in the start of the season. We'll be back next Tuesday, post-game after the Avalanche of Night Chandler 7 on Twitter, Chandler 9 on Instagram, and of course, Ranger Proud on Facebook, Twitter, and Ranger.Proud on Instagram as well. Sangre al sur, ladies and gentlemen. Conclusion of the Rink Podcast with Ranger Proud here on the Bleed Blue Show. Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, 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 bleep blue.